Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you ready, kids? Get your parents' permission, check your mailbox, and grab your shopping cart. It's time for the Adventures in Collecting podcast.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Dave.
Welcome to Adventures in collecting,
where we talk toy news, culture, and hauls,
along with our journeys as collectors.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Adventures in Collecting.
Happy New Year. Although, wasn't it Happy New Year last time, too?
I don't remember. Well, we're still airing in January, and I think that's, like, the respectable, we can wish people a Happy New Year up until the end of January, and then it gets weird. Like, okay. we could do it. We could do it for the month. We're back, and, of course, Dave, is there something I shouldn't be doing this episode?
Oh, I mean, there's something you shouldn't be doing most episodes.
That's true.
And that's burying the lead.
Yeah, that's right. So, of course, you know, we're back. We have a guest. It's been a little while now since we've had a new guest to the pod. We've had a lot of revisiting guests, you know, the past couple of guest slots. But we are super excited to welcome today's guest. But let's do our normal little primer here. Let's set the stage. For 25 years, Jada Toys has brought high-quality die-cast collectibles to the market. From classic cars and trucks to famous vehicles from film, television, and pop culture, they've become a proper go-to for automotive enthusiasts. In the past couple of years, though, they've entered the 1/12 scale action figure market, bringing classic food mascots, the Universal Monsters, and most recently, characters from the classic Capcom game Street Fighter and Mega Man. Joining us today to talk about Jada Toys' latest action figure efforts is their Vice President of Marketing, Mike Jimenez. Mike, welcome.
How you guys doing? Hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
It is an absolute pleasure. You know, we're going to dive into it, later on, but, you know, it's really, really exciting to have a representative from our second place finisher, our runner up in our toy of the year.
Awesome.
You know, line of the year, fan poll.
That's great. I love to hear it because, you know, we are the newcomers into the scene and it just shows how much effort we've been putting into our action figures. So thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I appreciate all your fans for voting us in.
Well, before we hop into the toys, before we hop into specifically Jada Toys, the first question we ask all of our guests, what are you currently collecting and what are some of your recent pickups?
So my thing is giant robots. So I'm into Mazinger Z, Voltron, all that kind of stuff that came out in the early 80s from Japanese anime. So Macross and Robotech are my big thing. My latest pickups are probably some Godzilla figures, actually. Because the movie, Minus One.
Oh, yeah.
GXK, I'm all about that kind of stuff. So, I'm picking up a couple of those things.
Yeah, we're huge kaiju fans as yes. well over
Big
here.
Time.
So
awesome,
especially yeah, Minus One.
I mean, loved yes. Minus One. I'm probably gonna go back once the black and white. Once Minus
yes, I know that's so rad. It's yeah. I love that they're doing that, and those people over at Legendary, they're awesome to work with because we actually do have their license as well. So we're lucky enough to be able to do some stuff with them as well.
Yeah, that's a great point. I just saw the RC Atomic Breath Godzilla in stores the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's I would love to be able to do a black and white version of that. Or even do some variations of the different Godzillas. I mean, I think that would be so fun.
Especially in that form. I forget who I saw on I want to say James at the Rock Father on Instagram from
Toy Insider.
Thank you. He was playing with it with his kids, and you know, seeing kind of the like strobing light up of the flares on the back and the steam coming out. Ah,
yeah,
so good.
Yeah,
that was a fun one to work on. That was really fun to work on, definitely.
So, yeah, I mean, big robots. Gotta love some big robots.
Yep.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Mike, so you've been with Jada Toys for nearly 20 years.
Yes,
tell us about your journey through the company.
So I started at Jada Toys as a packaging designer. That's how I was hired on. Packaging design, I never really did one lick of packaging, because as soon as I came in, the people who were in the position of doing some of the collateral material and a lot of the creative services just left. So I started doing that. I started doing the collateral material, like PowerPoint presentations, sell sheets. Then I started doing the website. And I started doing a lot of different design work for the whole company, whether it was, you know, for sales, for licensing, for PD. And then the first recession happened back in, what was it, 2010 or something, or 2009 or something, I forget what it was.
2008.
Yeah. And, you know, and it went, our company kind of dwindled down to a very skeleton crew. And I was, because I was so versatile, I kind of had to work at the product development team as well. And this was still when it was all just diecast vehicles. So I was doing the diecast vehicle stuff. I was still doing the web. I was still doing the graphic design for all the marketing material. My background is in marketing. So as I was moving my way around the company, I kind of got stuck in the PD development part of it. And then I got promoted to director of the product development team for the vehicle side. And I ran that department for a good while. And after a while, our department grew, our company grew, and they needed someone in the marketing department. And they remembered that I had marketing background. So they moved me over to that department. And now I'm the head of the marketing department.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing like being a jack of all trades. It's job security.
Yeah. Oh, it helps, you know. And but the thing is I'm fortunate, because they could have easily let me go at any time. And I was even told by one of my general managers that, you know, hey, you know, we're doing a lot of cuts, so you may want to start looking. And, you know, I never took anything for granted. I never felt comfortable. I always try to keep working hard and feel as if I'm still working to keep my job. And that's how I work to this day. And I think that's where it makes me successful in this industry, because, you know, I never feel complacent.
So, you know, with all that movement and the amount of time that you've spent with a single company, the toy industry itself and you know, the collector market has changed drastically.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
What are some of the key things that you know, you've seen change in the industry over the last two decades?
So let me start off maybe with like in the vehicle side of things. When you have like a custom vehicle, especially like race cars, they have all these sponsors and stuff that are on the side of the cars. Back when I started, we can approach any one of these aftermarket companies and say, hey, we're doing some diecast. Would you like your sticker or your logo to be on all these? You know, they'll do it for free. Yeah, this is, you know, we'd love to be on your cars, because we're, you know, we distribute worldwide. And now, because diecast and collectibles are so hot, everyone wants money. Everyone. So now we can't, it's hard to find a company that'll give us their logo for free to put on their cars, which is marketing worldwide for their brand. They want a little bit of royalty for it. So it's getting more and more difficult to do licensing, because things are starting to get more and more expensive for us to produce. And Jada's big thing is to produce a product that has good quality, but at a very affordable price. So it's harder and harder for us to do that when all these little companies want a little piece of the pie. So, but we're working on it. We have our ways to be able to, you know, give the consumer the deal, you know, make sure that they are feeling that what we give them is a quality product, but at a very good price. So, you know, we're trying our best to keep those prices low.
Yeah. I mean, to your point, something that we saw back at Toy Fair, you know, along the same lines of that, recreating what's happening in reality with cars is that whole pink slips line.
Like, yeah.
The idea of not just a sticker or a logo, but like a custom paint job of a, automobile influencer.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating twist on that kind of classic, tag culture, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's what the industry is doing in the real car culture. So we aren't just, in our action figure stuff, we're fans of action figures, we're fans of pop culture, but we're also car people in the company. And we all love to follow that scene. And we're doing our best to make sure that we're bringing everything that we see on the streets into our toy line. The hard part is it doesn't directly translate right away. So for example, this pink slip scene, this whole thing with all these crazy colors and paint schemes, it started a few years ago. If we started it back then in a toy line, it wouldn't work because people haven't been, surrounded by it long enough for them to want to buy the toy for it. And, we kind of make sure that we keep that in the back of our minds when we see new trends.
Oh man, that's gotta be so challenging.
Cause
it's like, it's a fine line, right? Like you don't want to miss the popularity cycle of a mm-hmm. trend, mm-hmm. but at the same time, you don't want to get in too early.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's really tough. It's really tough.
And especially like accuracy, like you were saying, is something Jada does very well. Mm-hmm. So, putting that extra deco into everything is definitely going to, kind of balance out that price and the accuracy part. But
exactly.
Same point, it's, it's that, the attractiveness of that shrunken down kind of version, that scale version mm-hmm. of what you can actually see out on the street.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, one of the big things that we had an issue with for many years, started coming back to become better maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, is the car shows around here, at least, or where that, all the car shows that really made waves in the industry, they turned into nightclubs. So kids weren't able to go out to these shows. It was only adults. And the adults at the time weren't collecting vehicles. They were just going out to enjoy the presence of car people and, a bunch of scantily clad women, And
yeah.
It's not like that anymore. And now all these car shows are starting to become back to becoming family-oriented events that you can take to your kids with you on the weekend. They even have jumpers out there. There's a time when kids would go to our booth and say, "Oh, that's Bumblebee." I'm like, okay, that's cool. Now kids are coming out, "Oh, that's the Camaro Z28. And I'm like, yes, that's what I want to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can remember vividly, going back to the mid to late 90s, at the Javits Center here in New York City, going mm-hmm. to the car show. And being kind of blown away by the concept cars and mm-hmm. And then going and looking for them in the toy aisle and stuff. I can vividly remember those moments, and then it just kind of seemed to vanish mm-hmm. for a while. So
yeah.
it's nice to see that it's coming back.
Oh yeah, we're excited about it, and we're really, especially when those little kids come up, "That's an R34 yeah, cool. These kids know what they're talking about nowadays. Which is nice to see.
So that being generationally established in that diecast and RC world has been something that Jada is very much well known for. Mm-hmm. So what led to the jump to take that big step into action figures?
So Jada Toys has always been working to diversify our portfolio. We always wanted to, diecast vehicles is our foundation, but at the core of Jada Toys, we always have wanted to be a true toy company. So we always dabbled in girls' toys, dolls, preschools, products. Action figures was actually something that we wanted to do for a long time. And we dabbled in it a little bit, but we never really got the okay to really do it the way we wanted to do it. And after we got purchased by this new company that owns us now, we were owned by a private owner. And now we are under the umbrella of Simbadiki Group, which is a German company who has a lot of other companies underneath their umbrella. Since then, we have gotten the freedom to be able to do what we want with our own vision, like the designer's vision. And the thing is, you know, the old owners were great. They had their vision. We realized it for them and we were very, very successful. And then he decided to sell the company. And now we are able to take that foundation that he built and expand on that, because now we're able to go into different categories of toys.
Oh, it's interesting. Yeah, I didn't realize that I knew that the owner had sold the company, but I didn't realize that the kind of the green light came from the new ownership. That's interesting.
Cool. So the green light, the new CEO was actually the VP of sales with the old ownership, and then he was the one that helped facilitate the whole purchase of Jada Toys. And as part of the deal, he became the CEO of Jada Toys after the sale. So when he worked really closely with the whole design team as we were under the old ownership. So he knew how we wanted to work. He knew what we wanted to do. And as soon as he took over, he was open to what we wanted to do, because he knew that we had great ideas. And he knew that, you know, we knew the culture of Jada Toys and kind of our what we stood for. And he allowed us to try to make that happen.
So the door is open. We're headed into the world of action figures. And the first thing that Jada Toys puts out is the Monster Cereal mascots for action figures. So how is it determined that you guys were going to start with those?
I actually think the first ones that came out were the Universal Monsters, I believe.
Yes, you're right. I'm sorry. I have the wrong thing in my notes there. It was the Universal Monsters and then the Cereal Monsters.
Yes. So Universal Monsters came about because there was an opportunity to get the license for Universal Monsters, and we knew we wanted to do action figures. Being a new guy, asking all these companies, what can we get? No one wanted to give us anything, because who's Jada Toys? You guys do diecast vehicles. They wouldn't give us the time of day. Universal and General Mills, I think they actually gave us the license about the same time.
Okay.
So General Mills was also the license that we got, because who else was going to give us a license? We couldn't get no, you know, big name like comic book licenses. You know, none of those companies would give us the time of day, because we had to prove ourselves first. And luckily, Universal, thank you for allowing us to do Universal Monsters. We were able to do it. And then also General Mills. General Mills, we knew, was going to be a harder thing to do because they have such thin limbs.
Yep.
Right. So we that one took a little bit longer to come out because we wanted to make sure we got it all correct. And then Universal Monsters was our first foray into it. And we started doing all kinds of fun stuff with it. And we, you know, like even with the Lugosi Dracula, we put the wire cape. You know, we did a lot of stuff that we knew collectors wanted, but we didn't want to, you know, and this is the same playbook that we had with our diecast. We wanted to come out with a quality diecast at an affordable price and get, you know, we were tending to the inner city kids when we came out with our first diecast vehicles. No one was paying attention to these kids that were doing their custom cars in the inner city, in the urban areas. And we paid attention to them. And that's where we blew up. That's where we got our niche. And that's how we were able to build upon our that foundation. So we took that same kind of mentality. We know people want good quality, and but we knew that we wanted to give it to them at an affordable price, and that's how Universal Monsters started. When we got that, and you know, we were working on it with a factory that really doesn't do a lot of action figures, so we were learning a lot as we were going. Now we're in a place where our factory is that we have that's working on our action figures are know what they're doing, are familiar with everything that we want to do. So we're very comfortable with now what's going to be coming out here in the future.
Now, did any of those license opportunities, like, you know, because I know you guys have done those kind of pop culture cars that have, you know, some sort of diecast vehicle with like a slug of a figure, you know, for those specific brands. Was there any previous work, you know, from either Universal or from, you know, from General Mills with any of those kind of tie-ins that you were able to fall back on and be like, hey, look, like, we know the brand. We're well-versed. We could do these types of things.
Or has there been anything even with that where they've been now like, okay, we've seen what you've done now.
So what it is when we got the Universal Monsters and the General Mills license, they knew we were doing these Hollywood Rides things. So when we got the license, like, hey, we want to do action figures, but we'll also do these vehicles with these figures, these diecast figures as well. Otherwise, because, you know, we need to put some more meat on the bone for them to be able to really want to give us that license. So that's how we jumped into it. So we'll do it. We'll do both of those set categories for them. And they turned out really well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, one of my favorite, you know, stepping back to vehicles again for a moment before we continue with action figures. One of my favorite releases that you guys have literally ever done was that, I guess it's a 1/10. No. Yeah. No, smaller than that. 1/13 scale. Mm-hmm. Batman Batmobile with like the light up Batmobile and the, oh, yeah, you know, the Batman from the newer one.
Yep.
It's insane. And like, to me, consumer, I would think that, a company with a license, like a DC or anyone really would see the quality of that. And like the amount of detail that you packed into the vehicle, the amount of detail that's in that little, that little tiny diecast figure, and go like, I mean, how could we not give these guys a shot? Like, it just seems like a no brainer to me.
The hard part is, these companies, they don't want to give one company 6-inch action figures and then give us another company 6-inch action figures that'll be in the same market.
Yeah.
So there's, we have to figure out a way. Like, sometimes we'll get licenses like, okay, this company has it for United States, so we'll settle for EMEA or Japan only or whatever. So those are the things. They don't want to over license their product and have too much on the market, because they just flood themselves out and make people have to figure out what they want. And it's just bad for business for all the companies involved.
Yeah, I mean, that was another reason why I think a lot of people were surprised to see you guys doing the Universal Monsters figures, because, just an inch larger, it's different scale, but, at the same time, seeing like the competitors' figures come out along with yours, and you have this kind of like comparison situation happening, and but they are two different scales. So one appeases one type of collector and the other another. So it did work out well that way.
We were very lucky, just to say that much. We were very lucky to be able to get that. And I'm glad we did, because now that allowed us to get the Capcom license, because after they saw what we can do with Universal Monsters, then that's when they gave us the opportunity to do Capcom.
Yeah. So, transitioning over to Capcom, and primarily, like we said before, the 2023 runner-up for the Archie Award for the best toy line of the year, we have Street Fighter. So how did Jada begin that? I know you kind of planted the seeds in that last answer, but how did that Capcom relationship really get running?
So with our Universal Monsters line, we pitched it to them, and I think the biggest thing that they were interested in is us completing the roster. That's what we told them to do, that we wanted, what we wanted to do. We really wanted to complete the roster of the whole, because we know no one really, a lot of people promised it maybe, but no one's really gone out and done it. And we're making strides to make sure that happens. And not only that, you guys, the consumers, the collectors, you guys are helping us make that happen, because without your support, we won't be able to do that, because we need you guys to be supportive of the brand so we can continue making it. And that's one of the main things that we were confident in, because we knew what we can do with our action figures. We knew how we wanted to level up the Capcom stuff. And we knew that there was a want for Street Fighter 2. And again, timing, everything was lucky for us. All the ducks were in a row for us. As soon as the Capcom license for Street Fighter 2 was available, we were right there waiting for us to, and we, coming off the coattails of Universal's Monster success, we were able to use that as our segue into it. And it helped so much. And we were really excited to be able to do it. And right now they're loving us, because we are like making good on our promise.
Yeah. And I mean, it just needs to be said again, so our, you know, for those listening and Mike, for you as well, if you're not familiar with the tournament, we pick 64 of what we feel are the most popular toy lines in a given year. And we pit them against each other kind of NCAA style. So single round elimination, voting only in our stories. And I mean, just something of note, right? In the semifinals, it was Jada Toys Street Fighter line, a line that in 2023 produced a grand total of 4 figures available at retail. You guys beat the DC Multiverse from McFarlane. And I mean, it's like literally the two stark opposites in terms of like offering, right? 4 figures versus like, God, 400, they crank out. It seems like every week there's, you know, a new line
every week.
Yeah. That's wild.
And you know, you guys beat them by a considerable amount. Like, I mean, the sentiment behind these Street Fighter figures, and I'm looking at my Ryu standing right here in front of me. The sentiment behind these figures is just wild. And I mean, it is, and it's, you know, for good reason. I mean, they are damn good action figures. And I mean, it's like, you know, before Dave actually got a chance to get hands on, I had it first. And I was like, when you pick this thing up, you're going to think that this is a company that has been making action figures for decades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, decades.
Like, it's one thing for us to look at them and go, oh, these are really cool, or these rule, or what have you. But when you start to see, like, you know, round after round, when we started to see that mm-hmm. rolling, we were like, oh, something's being done very right here. And 1,000%, like, they are. I always talk about wrestling figures, and the ones I appreciate the most are the ones mm-hmm. who look like it's just that person shrunken down.
Yeah.
Here it looks like I just reached into my TV.
That's great.
And here's Ryu.
Love that.
Chun-Li. Yeah.
It's the little details too. Like, it's like the texturing that you guys did mm-hmm. on the mm-hmm. gi. It's mm-hmm. the, you know, the way that the hands are embedded in mm-hmm. the Hadouken, floating there in the translucent plastic. It's all of those little tiny, like, nuancey details that, like, you don't necessarily notice at first, but once you have mm-hmm. it in your hand and you start playing with it and moving them around, you're like, geez, these are just like, they're so good.
But it still has that video game shading. Like,
they're great.
It's so good.
They're just so good.
Well, we thank you very much for that. And it's all, I attribute that all to our PD guy, June, who's our head of our action figure department. And he's a hardcore action figure guy. And a little bit of history here. Actually, our first action figure, true action figure, wasn't very good at all. Was actually way back in 2014.
Okay.
It was the RoboCop movie.
The Joel Kinnaman one.
Yeah. So we did some basic action figure. It was very like stiff, not a lot of articulation. That was our first foray. We actually also had the Halo license, where we did miniature action figures to fit into our 1:24 scale diecast.
Yeah,
which was really cool. And there is one. I don't know if it's where it is, but it was floating around. But we had a one die cast Master Chief action figure with articulation, elbows, head, everything. It's floating around our office somewhere, but that was like the coolest thing I've ever seen. But yeah, that's how far back this guy goes. He spearheaded that originally, but he wasn't able to do it the way he really wanted to, because of costing. But now with our new ownership, of being able to do what we really want to do and really talk to our factories about how we want it done, we are able to get our Street Fighter line to the point that he's really happy, and he's still finding things that we can improve on. So the more and more we do it, the better our products are going to be.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
This segment is brought to you by our friends at Chubsy Wubsy Toys. A traditional mom-and-pop toy store in Little Falls, New Jersey, Chubsy Wubsy Toys brings you the best new toys from the brands you love without the hassle of pounding the pavement searching for them at larger retail stores. Visit them in person at their brand new home at 101 Newark Pompton Turnpike, Suite 1 in Little Falls, New Jersey, or online at chubzywubzy.com. That's chubzywubzy.com. And tell them Adventures in Collecting sent you.
Face it, shaker bottles suck. Your shakes always come out clumpy and they're a pain to clean.
You're right, Dave. That's why I decided to ditch my shaker bottle for good and get myself a BlendJet 2 portable blender. It makes perfectly blended shakes in just 20 seconds.
BlendJet 2 is portable, so you can blend up a smoothie at work, a protein shake at the gym, or even a margarita on the beach. It's small enough to fit in a cup holder, but powerful enough to blast through tough ingredients like ice and frozen fruit with ease.
BlendJet 2 is whisper quiet, so you can make your morning smoothie without waking up the whole house. It lasts for over 15 blends and recharges quickly via USB-C.
Best of all, BlendJet 2 cleans itself. Just blend water with a drop of soap and you're good to go.
With an array of colors, patterns, or even Disney-inspired designs to choose from, show off your personality while you're blending up something delicious on the go.
What are you waiting for? Go to BlendJet.com and grab yours today.
And be sure to use the promo code AICPOD12 to get 12% off your order and free 2-day shipping. No other portable blender on the market comes close to the quality, power, and innovation of the BlendJet 2. They guarantee you'll love it or your money back. Blend anytime, anywhere with the BlendJet 2 portable blender. Go to blendjet.com and use the code AICPOD12 to get 12% off your order and free 2-day shipping. Shop today to get the best deal ever.
And now back to the show.
So you mentioned, kind of delivering on that promise that you made to the licensee or licensor, excuse me. Mm-hmm. But, one of the things about Street Fighter, especially Street Fighter 2, there have been so many, modern iterations of Street Fighter 2 figures. What did you guys want to do differently, like functionally with the line?
So functionally, I think the main thing was just taking what all the high-end action figure guys are doing and putting it into a more affordable product. And figuring out how to make that happen is the biggest issue. It's really difficult to get that to work. But because June is such a hardcore action figure person, he's a hardcore action figure collector. He has all the greatest figures, and his collection is ridiculous. He's also a hardcore Street Fighter fan, Street Fighter 2 specifically, because he wanted to make sure that everything was going to be true to game as much as possible. And I think that shows. I think a lot of that comes through in our product. We're car guys. All of our car products that we put out, the car people appreciate the details that go into it because they know that, they understand that we know what we're doing because we're part of that community as well. And the same thing with the action figures. June and his team, they're all action figure nuts and they're all Street Fighter nuts. And they're all like everything they do is because they have a passion for it. And I think that comes through in our product.
So real quick to plug June, if you want to hear specifically from him, he was actually very recently on Friends of Ours, the Toy Migos. Mm-hmm. He was on the Chat Migos and the Toy Migos show. So, we'll actually put a link in the description of this podcast to that show too. So that way you can get your one-two punch of Jada Toys here.
Yeah, he does. He's on there quite a bit and he reveals a lot of stuff on there. So yeah, that's a good watch.
So at LA Comic Con, a whole host of Street Fighter figures were shown off.
Yes, sir.
When can we expect to see pre-orders for the future waves with Vega and Blanca and everybody else that was kind of shown there? When are those looking to hit?
We're looking at this fall. But because right now we're in the process of transferring our, a couple of things over to factories, different factories, and making sure things are tight and doing, production wise are good. It's hard to tell. With action figures, there's no real, we don't have a hard deadline when it comes to getting on shelf at retail. It doesn't follow the the fall spring timelines. So when we do these action figures, we want to make sure that they're done right. And also there's like a lot of back and forth between us and the licensors for approvals. So our goal is in the fall timeframe for many of those new ones that you saw, but a lot of them will be also pushed to 25 spring. Because it's just, you know, we don't want to come out with too many too fast. We want to be able to, you know, kind of stagger it out a little, but that's just also the nature of the production process. You know, that's, it's just going to happen that way anyway.
And can we expect that similar cadence of like 2 to 3 to a wave, or is it going to kind of be more random?
Typically three to a wave was kind of our, what we're planning on doing.
Okay.
So the first two villain robots alongside Mega Man switching over to Mega Man.
Yes.
I love that line.
That one's so cool.
That's another one where it's just like I reached into my 8-bit Nintendo and like, here's Fireman. So Fireman and Iceman. Mm-hmm. Is the plan to complete the first game's roster before moving on to other games, or is everybody kind of in play?
So this one's a little different. I think we're trying to complete the roster, but we'll probably jump around a little bit. But I believe we're, you know, if I'm not mistaken, I believe we're trying to complete that roster, but it all is dependent on the support that we get from the consumers. You know, Street Fighter has tremendous support, you know, so it's easy for us to try to complete that. And it's going to be the same thing with Mega Man. Mega Man, if we have that support, then for sure. But the thing is we're very good about listening to our fan base. We want to hear what you guys have to say. A lot of our product that we come out with is based on your feedback. So we do hear you guys. You know, we may not always reply to all your comments on our social media feeds, but we are listening, and we kind of use that to gauge what is the next thing that we should work on. If there's the support, we'll do our best to complete that roster and maybe move on to other ones. I'm not sure. I have to go back to our license department. I'm not sure if our license is specific just to the original Street Fighter Mega Man, or if it can go through different iterations.
Got it. Yeah. And I mean, Mega Man, going back to Toy Fair, and Dave can attest to this, when we were getting the booth tour, and I saw the final production Mega Man like out of pack. I was like, can I play? Like he was kind of posed a little funny, because I guess whoever in the booth was, you know, before us was, you know, had kind of just left him like awkwardly. Can I fix this? I have him doing like the slide. And it's one of those things where, like, all right, so, you know, Street Fighter has like an obvious built-in audience, especially Street Fighter 2. I mean, it's like, so, especially in that scale, you know, thinking about the other toy lines that are out there that are other 1/12 scale figures that work really well in a blank versus Capcom, capacity, it's one of those things where, you know, it's like, as long as you, you know, hit the mark, that those are going to fly.
But exactly.
I feel like Mega Man is one of those ones where like people need to really see this thing to understand like, oh no, you're going to want this like real bad.
And that's almost exactly the same thing that happened with Chester Cheetah. Like no one really knew that we were coming out with that. But then everyone that came was like, you know what? I never knew I wanted a Chester Cheetah action figure, and that you guys showed me that I do need one.
Yep. We have a funny saying on the show. I don't know if it's a funny saying, but it's something that we say all the time. We have a whole category of toys. We should put this on a shirt. I didn't know I needed this.
Yes.
I saw it. Yeah.
Yeah. It is crazy, because I remember seeing the initial like teases that the Instagram account put out of like, you know, the glove and like the holding the Cheeto, and I was like, wait a second, you're not doing a chat. This has got to be an April Fool's joke. Go figure.
Right.
And man, you guys can't keep in stock anywhere.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's, we were blown away at how the reaction was to it. And again, this is attributed to all the fans and the support. It's crazy. Cause our, you know, diecast fans are one thing, but the action figure fans, oh my gosh, if they're on board with you, they're on board, and they they're awesome, and we love it, and we love all you guys that help us, because that's what keeps us excited to make new products, because you know we want to do it for you guys. We are someone posted on one of our social media pages that Jada Toys is the manufacturer for the people, and that kind of hit home. It's like, I was like, yeah, you know what? That's kind of cool. If you guys see us like that, then I think we're doing the right thing.
But it's funny when you think about it, really, because you know a character like Chester Cheetah, and again, like you know, looking at the kind of paper trail, you know, getting everybody's buy-in with the Universal Monsters, and then you know, kind of dabbling in those serial mascots, right? Mm-hmm. You now have this, you know, fan base that is like, I know these figures are well built. They look good. They pose well. They have great balance. Like, I guess I'm getting Chester Cheeto now.
Yeah.
Like, you know
yeah.
What, like, what else right? do you have up your sleeve yeah. that, yeah. You know, that those, and those random one-off figures. I mean, that's, it can be hit or miss, but if you're making a quality product, you're much more likely to get people to be like, oh, you jerk.
Yeah,
I'm getting
true.
Chester Cheeto now.
I mean, it's almost like we found a niche for ourselves in this category, in this action figure world. You know, it's almost like we're venturing out into places that some action figure companies didn't want to touch, because either that or they just didn't think about touching it. And that's what's the hard part, because now that we're doing it, you know, it's on other companies' radars, and it'll be harder for us to even get some more of those type of licenses. So we'll see, you know, we'll see how it goes. And there's a lot of things that are already in the pipeline that we're excited to show you. And, you know, I can't wait for you guys to see it when we when we debut them at the next cons that we have coming.
Awesome. Yeah. And it's like this right kind of intersection of like, here's this cool modern toy of this nostalgic thing. You know, Universal Monsters, of course. The serial icons, like serial monsters, absolutely. Like, you know, that's one of those things. Halloween time comes around, you're buying a box of something, right? You're going to the Target and getting one of those boxes. But now, like, you know, Mega Man, of course, that was a game a lot of people on their Nintendo, like an early Nintendo game. But then Street Fighter 2, like that was there were always arcade games that were coming on a console. But like here's one of the more anticipated ones. Like I think everybody, whether you're at a Genesis or Super Nintendo, you had Street Fighter 2.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So you mentioned it kind of before, or alluded to it with the kind of the scope of the license. But one of the questions that, you know, I think a lot of people have, and you know, we certainly have about the Capcom license, you know, do you have access to more material from Capcom? Maybe say Mega Man X or a certain survival horror classic that involves zombies and a mansion in the middle of the woods.
The master of unlocking.
We are exploring all the opportunities we have with Capcom.
Mike, I like that answer. I like that answer.
It's a tough one, you know, and I know people want to hear some good stuff and some bad stuff, but you know what? It's I think you'll be pleasantly surprised here in the future.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, I like you said, I really, really hope Capcom is happy with what you guys have delivered so far, and they're willing to open the vault and open the gates for you, because like you just said, there's so many opportunities
for Capcom. There is a lot.
It's an ocean.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, definitely. And you know, we're right there with you guys, and we want those kind of things to happen. And we're very bullish on that kind of stuff.
All right. So with that, we're about to head into our Q&A section here. So every time we have a guest on, we fully understand that, you know, our guests don't have the ability to answer every question that's out there. And, you know, we're very fortunate to have access. So we like to open up this section of the show to our listeners and our followers. So that way they can get some of their questions in Dave. For those that might be listening for the first time, or maybe haven't heard this part of the pod, how can they get their questions into future episodes of Adventures in Collecting?
I would love to let them know. Hello, friends. Maybe you're a first-time listener. Maybe you've been with us for a while. What you should do is go follow at AIC underscore podcast on all your favorite social medias. And specifically on Instagram, because when we have a new guest, we're going to announce that guest. And we're going to put up a story that says, do you have a question for that guest? And inside that story is a little box that you can tap on and type in that question. And then we get to see it and we get to read it just like we're about to. And if you want to hear your question get asked, you can download Adventures in Collecting on all your favorite podcast locations. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all those different places, even YouTube, where we can be found at AIC underscore podcast. Smash that like, smash that subscribe, hit the bell. Click on the other videos that we point to in those videos. Watch everything. Leave comments. Let us know what you want to see.
You've got this down to a science now. I love it.
I figured it out. It needs music.
Old.
Yep. Yep. It has music now.
It used to be like me not knowing what any of those words meant, and then I figured it out after over time.
Yeah, it started as a joke, me putting him on the spot to try to like be like savvy social media guy. And now like I literally look forward to that speech every episode. It's one of my favorite things. Great. So, Dave, would you like to give Mike our first question here?
I would, and my apologies in advance if I read any of your handles incorrectly. This looks like at Alex Michael 1996. Alex Michael 1996 asks, any chance you guys go back to the cereal monsters for a Yummy Mummy and or Fruit Brute?
So, interesting. So, cereal monsters, we weren't going to move past the two, what's it called? The first ones that we did, the Count Chocula and
Frankenberry.
But there was such a big request for Boo Berry that we had to do it. So we typically, like I said, we listen to the fans. We listen to all you guys. If there's enough noise behind it, we definitely will do it. Are we working on it now? Maybe. But I can't say anything just yet. But it is a possibility. But if there is anything you guys want us to do, please make your voices heard. Go to our social medias and tell us and let us know, because we are listening. We are taking note, because we want to make product that you guys want.
All right. So there you have it, folks. Campaign for your cereal monsters. At Sean to the Max asks, what does Jada Toys consider to be the next big evolution or step forward in toy design?
That next evolution in toy design, huh? Wow. So I think there's right now we're going through a phase, and I'm taking this mostly from RC, where people are just not they're kind of bored with just typical driving RCs. They need some kind of feature, some kind of innovation, which is how we came up with the Godzilla Heat Ray Breath. They need something more. And I don't know if that's going to be kind of evolved into the action figure world, but man, that one's tough. And we're seeing a little bit in the diecast world where people are kind of almost demanding more unique paint jobs, unique styles, unique things that they haven't seen on diecast before, which is how we came up with the Pink Slips line. And we are kind of trying to do some cool stuff with the cyberpunk, with the soft goods that are going along with those. So yeah, we're constantly evolving in that way, trying to figure out what works. We're also trying to play with, seeing where people, what their threshold is with the cost, because we want to make sure that we still give you all the things you guys want, but at an affordable price. Where's that ceiling? You know, the cyberpunk stuff, when we come out with that, that's going to be really interesting because they are going to be a little bit more expensive from our Street Fighter stuff because of the soft goods. But I think they look amazing, man. They look really, really good. And I know the hardcore collectors will pick them up. You know, we just don't know how popular it will be. So it's always it's always kind of a scary thing to do, go into areas that aren't the norm. But, you know, we think it's also needed at the same time.
All right.
At Johnny_C_Dagger asks, how would you feel about the opportunity to work on action figures in the DreamWorks animation world?
Love it. our licensing department is working like crazy, trying to get the newest anything available for us. And that is one of the companies that we're looking heavily at with some of their licenses.
Yeah. When Johnny, he's given questions for this, for the show several times. So Johnny, thank you for constantly submitting these. But when he posted this one, I almost wanted to message him back and be like, you got an in for them or something? Like, but no, it made me start thinking though, because like it's been a long time since there's been, you know, like a line of DreamWorks action figures. I honestly forget who even made them last, but I started thinking like how cool like a fully articulated like Toothless Dragon would be, or any of the Kung Fu Panda figures, like fully articulated, like. So many opportunities there. Shrek, like just like a good
Shrek was the first one I thought of.
A good like 112 Shrek that like moves like, you know,
that'd be cool. But I just know that is definitely something we have talked about quite a bit. I'll leave it at that.
Cool. All right, next one comes from I got this. This is a little play on words. At Rip Roaring asks, is the Universal Monsters line continuing? Will we ever get to see a mummy figure? This is now two different mummy figures that have been requested. So
love for the
mummy in this episode.
So the Universal Monsters line, we currently are selling through what we currently have produced. I believe we have, I know we had the mummy pretty much done, so I'm have to find out whether or not, and I'll have to let you guys know later after June is actually in China right now working with the factory. Once he comes back, I can find out a little bit more about that, but I am not educated enough on that property to let you guys know more about it. So I'm sorry about that.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned, yeah, please.
Stay tuned on your breakfast mummy and your nighttime mummy.
Exactly.
At These Wonderful Toys asks, how is Jada able to produce such high-quality figures at such reasonable price points?
Oh, man. So there's a lot of things that we do. Like, so you can kind of fake shading with certain cuts inside of, you know, on shapes of the molds, right? We used to do that a lot in radio control with plastic, with windows. If you want the window or the vehicle to look more matte, you put a little bit of a texture on it. If you want it to be shiny, you make it flat. Certain things like that. So where we can use those type of tricks, we'll do that instead of using paint ops. But you know what? It's just working with our factories, having a great relationship with our factories to be able to get the best price available to us. Because, you know, without and I attribute this to our previous owners, he was really good at making relationships with the factories in China. And luckily enough, they still honor the great pricing he was getting with this new management here. So, you know, we're very fortunate to be able to work with some great people over there.
And Mike, with that, you have survived your first your first ever Adventures in Collecting fan Q&A. So
we did it.
Much. Appreciate it.
There you go.
It was fun. It was a good time, man. Thank you guys for this. And it's I want to thank you guys and all your fans for all the support, because it's, you know, it really, really means a lot to us and it helps us to keep going.
Well, we're always here to, you know, to support and, you know,
absolutely.
Thanks to our, you know, again, to our listeners and followers for submitting those questions. You know, it's always important to make sure your voices get heard. Now it is time for our final question. Yeah. Dave, would you like to fulfill your role as this podcast's James Lipton and ask our final question?
Why, yes, I would. Mike, the final question that we ask to all of our guests, what is your favorite and or strangest piece in your collection? It can be one of each, or it can be both.
Well, okay, my favorite piece is... actually, my favorite piece is kind of selfishly, I don't have one here in my office, it's downstairs, is a Robotech Supra that I made of my car.
Very
so
cool.
So the Roy right. Fokker, the Roy Fokker Toyota Supra Anime Hollywood Rides that we made in 1/24 scale is actually the car that I own. I showed it at Anime Expo. So yeah, that's probably my favorite. But my most interesting one that I have, I think it's, you know what I love is bootleg toys. Now, not the bootleg toys that you get that are like, they look exactly the same, but they're slightly off and they're just trying to make money and trying to trick people. No, I'm talking about the ones that like are blatantly wrong.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. like there's I have a Transformer Bumblebee and it's instead of robots in disguise, it says robots in disguise. You know,
rack toys.
Yeah.
I love rack toys.
It's
best.
It's so cool. And I think there's, you know, it's not like they're doing anything wrong because no one's going to be trading down to that just because it's more affordable. You're not going to get that because it looks like a Bumblebee. You're going to get it only because it's such a bad fake that you want that because of that. It's one of my things that I really like. I don't know.
It's like when you get the bootleg like Batman or the bootleg like John Cena, and it's like,
yeah,
superhero.
Yeah.
Like wrestler. Like,
I literally not just the other day posted, we were in the dollar store and they had this amazing, this is on our Instagram feed. It's called the Interest Toy Series. So I'm holding up so that way you guys can see it here. It's called the Interest Toy Series, and it has these two very anime-looking characters on it, and it's a doctor set. It's just like a doctor set for toddlers, but the packaging is unbelievable. Wow, so funny. fun family toy series. Accompany your child's childhood good times.
That's the stuff I love.
Yeah, I wanted it. I almost bought it just for the packaging. Like, just so that way I could take that little, like, you know, open up the bag, give my kids the doctor's toys, and hang that little hanger tag just forever somewhere where I could always look at it and smile. Like, I love rack toys. They're the
packaging is always great. Like,
yeah,
I always go back to wrestling, but it was like, you know, pro wrestlers in outer space. Like,
yeah.
Yep. Whatever.
And you can tell that they're trying to, you know, mimic some famous character or some famous wrestler. But it's just off enough where you know that it's not. And it's just, I don't know, I just love that kind of stuff.
It's a game of telephone.
Yeah. Exactly.
Where what we started with was certainly not where we ended, but it's not, it's about the journey.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well,
a guy who definitely remotely looks like Superman absolutely fought this guy who remotely looks like Spider-Man once.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Exactly. What's that one? There was a really famous one that was circulating on the web where it was like the Avengers, and it was like Batman, Shrek, Spider-Man, and like Triple H.
Yeah, yeah.
and me, like, my brain isn't like, those aren't the Avengers. It's like, huh, I think I'd watch that.
Yeah. Mine was absolutely, I want to see that. Like,
exactly. That's exactly it. And when you buy, you have to keep it in the package. You can't open them up because you have to see everything in its all in its whole glory because that's what makes the product.
Well, chances are if you open it anyway, they're just going to fall apart. It's going to fall apart. You might as well.
Or they're not. And they're going to be
Or they're made out of lead and they actually hurt somebody.
It's funny. Exactly.
Well, oh my gosh. Mike, thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight. Before we let you go, please let our listeners, let our followers know where can they keep up to date on the latest Jada Toys news on the internet.
So follow our Instagrams, Facebook. We're going to be ramping up our TikTok pretty soon if you guys are into that. But our website is in the development right now. It's been a while, but I'm very close to having that launched. Hopefully this February. But the main place, if you guys want to hear the latest, greatest news, sign up for our newsletter on jadanextlevel.com. That's the best place to go. We send out an email maybe monthly. We don't spam you guys. We'll just send out information that gives you the latest and greatest that's happening in Jada Toys, when pre-orders are going to be opened up. Sometimes you get early pre-orders, links if that's something that we're going to be doing. So yeah, Jada Toys, jadanextlevel.com. That's where you want to go.
Awesome. Mike, thank you again so much for hanging out with us tonight. It's been an absolute joy talking to you. Can't wait to see what's coming next from you guys. And of course, you know, we'll put links in our description in this episode's description to all the things that Mike just mentioned. So that way you can click, you can subscribe, you can follow, you can like all of those great things.
Much appreciated, guys. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem. Dave, send us home.
Everybody, have a great 2024.
Thank you, dear listener, for hanging out with us today. Subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen, and then tell your friends to do it. Thanks also to Joe Azari, the golden voice behind our intro. Our music is Game Boy Horror by the Zombie Dandies. Find more about them both in our show notes.
Follow us on social media at AIC_podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Stop by and say hi, show us your toy hauls, and share your toy stories. Maybe we'll talk about it in a future episode.
Don't try this at home. Void where prohibited and some assembly required. Each sold separately, not a flying toy. Consult a physician if your toy run exceeds more than 4 hours.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.